Margaret Atwood can be lyrical, as in Surfacing, and she can be funny, as in Lady Oracle. A Handmaid's Tale, her dystopian novel, took the long view in a gloomy one. Bodily Harm, in which a journalist left Toronto to report on death styles in the Caribbean, to meet grandmothers with machine guns, and to dream of severed hands, is said to have been autobiographical and was certainly unpleasant. Atwood's latest, Cat's Eye, is also said to be autobiographical. This is how she feels today about fame and feminism, and it most resembles Bodily Harm. Instead of the journalist Renée, we're inside the head of an artist, Elaine. Instead of being married, like Renée, to the feckless Jake, a designer of advertising package deals, Elaine has been married to John, who designs sets for Hollywood splatter flicks about chainsaw massacres. Instead of being, like Renée, afraid of men, quote, because, it's simple, men are frightening, Elaine has decided that men are merely mindless, like the weather, or, quote, slippery rocks with jagged edges. Fallen women were women who had fallen onto men and hurt themselves. And instead of finding in female friendship something redemptive, as Renée did, Elaine looks back from her 80s eminence to her 50s adolescence and sees her childhood female friends as traitors and sadists. Once upon a time, quite literally, they buried her alive. After a long absence and a second marriage, Elaine returns to Toronto for a retrospective of her work. She looks at her past, the land of the dead people, through the blue eye marooned in a favorite childhood marble, which Cat's Eye also appears in her paintings. Her art is a vengeance on those who betrayed and tormented her, who were lost to death or madness, and especially on Cordelia, with whom, in the novel's most powerful conceit, she seems to have exchanged identities, to have saved herself by becoming a bully. Elaine and Cordelia used to read horror comics. In one of them, a pretty girl goes to dances and has a boyfriend. Her ugly, envious sister, with a burned face, hangs herself in front of a mirror. The pretty one, looking into this mirror, sees the burned face, faints, and is invaded by the ugly one. Later on, Elaine reflects, I'm not afraid of seeing Cordelia. I'm afraid of being Cordelia, because in some way we changed places, and I've forgotten when. Cat's Eye is, of course, more complicated than this. Each of its 15-chapter books is itself a painting, remote like a Japanese landscape, hanging from wicked epigrams. Each sharp-edged image inflicts a wound. It's as if, by the very act of choosing to become an artist, Elaine had turned glacial, pitiless, inhuman, a disembodied, savage eye. I'm not sure the old light from dying stars into which she rises at the end is really enough to see by, nor am I sure she's escaped Cordelia. For all its fierce intelligence, its abrasive wit, its knowingness, Cat's Eye is a novel of nightmare unhappiness.